And this episode is going to be a look back. At the same time, it's also going to be a little bit of a look into the future. We got lots of fun stuff to talk about. The primary thing that you probably noticed coming into this episode is, what the hell is up with that music? You're like, wow, the 100 episodes, 99 episodes plus some of the same intro, and now they've got this new theme. What's up with that? Well, the reality is, I didn't really know that this show was going to go past the first few episodes, and as it kept on trucking, and listenership grew, and we're on all the networks and a couple of channels, and listenership continues to grow. So I thought, man, I'm going to have to start taking this thing legit. So I started thinking, like, okay, I can't be using other people's music as my bumper, as not as my intro anyway. And so I reached out to our friend Johnny Stitches
himself
over at Sirenicide, and
who will be having a excellent panel at our show, by the way.
It's
going to be one you don't want to miss for sure.
But he's a fan of the show, and he listens, and so he knows what we're all about and what, you know, kind of just how we are. So I reached out to him and I asked him to craft us a theme, and he hit me back with a couple of different things, and I chose one, and he built it, made it just awesome. So we're starting off episode 100 with the new and improved Scary Dad theme by Mr. Johnny Stitches. Now, they've got a very well-produced horror podcast. He's a very busy man. Wife and kids and all kinds of crazy medical malpractice stuff going on in the evenings.
But he has a passion for what he does.
Right. But if you need a theme for your show, reach out to Johnny. He'll make it good for you if he's got the time. So thank you so much, John. We're can't wait to get started with the new theme song. We're gonna play it in its entirety at the back end of the show, at the last credits. We're just gonna play it through. And what's cool about it is he made it long enough to where I can cut and paste parts for different things.
Yeah.
So I've got quite a bit of content to deal with. But anyway, let's raise one up to Mr. Johnny Stitches. Second thing, this is September 10th, so we are exactly 19 days away from Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show
Part 2. Yes, it's creeping up quick, isn't it?
It is flying by. I've got the monsters ready to go. I should have all of my vendor stuff is straight. We've got all of our panels lined up. We have a floor plan. Everything is good to go. Really, all we need to do is be there and open the doors and let the madness ensue. But once again, just a quick plug, we're going to have costume contests. We're going to have discussion panels all day long. We're going to have some of the most awesome decorations provided by our friend Trace. We've got writers. We've got artists.
We've got independent filmmakers.
Arts and crafts. Some of the coolest arts and crafts. Like, I was pretty stingy with who I let in on the arts and crafts side. I had to make sure that they were, like, super, super cool. And all of them are pretty badass.
We're going to have comics. We're going to have collectibles. We're going to have just going across the board what you're looking for.
Kingwood Asylum is sending out the clowns. They're going to have their guys set up in a big old kissing booth ready to take pictures and scare you and your kids. It's going to be a blast. I got my costume cleaned and pressed, ready to go. So we're just waiting. We got another, like, almost just a little more than 2 weeks, and we are there. So that's our look forward. Now it's time for...
First, the old business.
We're going to look way, way back before we look back. But all right, we just finished our discussion of the Book of Revelations. And we were talking about how natural disasters, hurricanes, and those sorts of things happen and make people nervous about, you know, coming apocalypses. But on this date, September 10th in 1509, earthquake called... The Lesser Judgment Day hit Constantinople, There was a tsunami followed by 45 days of aftershocks, and 10,000 people were killed.
It's a pretty significant name there.
Yeah, the Lesser Judgment Day, yeah.
You got something to live up to with that kind of name, dude.
Okay, probably a little less dramatic, but still cool nonetheless. On this date in 1846, the sewing machine was patented. Have to add a little levity there.
That was a game changer.
It certainly. That's when moms could start making kids their own Halloween costumes and not having to go down to the store and pay for overpriced crap from China. 1846. On this date in 1961, at the Italian Grand Prix, driver Wolfgang von Trips and 13 others were killed when his Ferrari crashed and parts and pieces of it went into the stands. 13 people killed at the auto race.
The Final Destination scene right there.
That's it. On this date in 1977, Hamida Janawabi, convicted of torture and murder, was the last person to be executed by guillotine in France. There's actually a video of it on YouTube if you look, but 1977.
Okay. You know, me and Amy are binge watching another one of those medieval shows right now. This one has some pretty gruesome kills as far as executions go. They have beheadings.
What show is it?
It's called Rain. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, they show the bodies after with the heads rolling around, the heads on pikes, everything. It it's pretty brutal.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna show it, right?
Like show the brutality of it.
And on this date in 2008, the Large Hadron Collider was powered up in Geneva. That's where they smash atoms together to see what'll happen. Okay, notable births on this date in 1801. Marie Laveau.
Famous voodoo queen of New Orleans, yes.
1968, rapper Big Daddy Kane.
B-I-G-D-A-D-D-Y-K-A-N-E. I used to love Big Daddy Kane, man. It was a golden time for hip-hop.
And that pretty much does it for old business today. Not a whole lot there's a lot of people killed, but most of them just got lost to history.
Okay. I'm surprised there weren't more births because I noticed that from August to September, there's a ton of births.
Mm-hmm. It's people in that long, cold winter.
I was making jokes about, you know, I'm a Thanksgiving baby.
My daughters are 3 years apart, but separated by only 2 weeks or, you know, something like that. Like they're both winter babies.
My kids are 7 years apart and they're separated by 4 days. It's their birthday. I used to tell people all the time, I get it once a year.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, that's old business. We're going to take a break real quick and we will be right back.
You know who to call when you have ghosts. But who do you call when you have monsters?
We're the Monster Squad.
What's a squad? It's like Miami Vice, I think.
They're young and inexperienced.
Naughty virgin!
They're a bit disorganized.
Monsters are not real.
We don't know that, sir.
2,000-year-old dead guys do not get up and walk away by themselves!
But when strange things start happening in town...
There's a monster in my closet.
Ooh! Look at that big, scary monster!
What's happening?
You wait until a werewolf.
Silver bullet?
They're the only ones ready to do battle.
Somebody's out there and is killing people. And if it's monsters, nobody's gonna do a thing about it but us.
Soon the creatures of the night shall rule the world.
Real monsters? Us?
Midnight. End of world, remember?
Maybe we can be like Mask Squad and Stygia. Do mask bombs.
We got a 1035. Stitch back up. Hurry up.
We'll meet your squad.
The book is right. Don't you see it's all true?
By midnight.
You guys.
They won't seem so young anymore. Monster Squad.
Wolfman's gone
mad. Nice little interlude there.
Always, always.
Buy whatever that product was.
Well, I'll go ahead and hand it to Gomez real quick.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Alrighty. Well, first we need to raise the glass again, because one of the most iconic voices of the 80s has passed away. Mr. Robin Leach, The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Man, my mom used to watch that show religiously.
I used to watch it, you know. It was just so decadent and ridiculous. Robin Leach was just, his voice, like I said, was an iconic voice. You can't, anybody that grew up in the 80s knows who Robin Leach is.
But The Lifestyles was just Cribs before Cribs.
Right.
It was, like, just look at all this crazy stuff I have.
But Robin Leach passed away at the age of 76. He died on a Thursday night. He had been hospitalized since November 21st after suffering a stroke in Cabo San Lucas. He died in Las Vegas, Nevada. So, pour one out for Mr. Leach. All right. Recently, in New Zealand, a group of divers happened to stumble upon the carcass of a 4.2-meter squid. And it was in pretty good shape. It wasn't like all gnarly and deteriorated and everything. They came out with some beautiful pictures, man. Here's one right there of them laying next to the carcass itself. This thing was huge. Truly a giant squid. While they're not extremely rare, it's rare to see one in this kind of condition, to be able to actually get some good pictures of it and everything. And it's a pretty impressive beast you may want to check out. These giant squids are just... They were the things that legends were made of. You know, these are where the sea monsters of old came from. This is pretty much what they were.
Totally. You hear tell of them catching some sperm whales that have sucker scars the size of dinner plates.
Yeah. These squids were badass.
That is a big thing.
They hunt whales. Think about that for a second, you know. Okay. And a little bit of sad news, and just it was just pretty horrific. Mount Vernon man, he decapitated his girlfriend for saying that he had a talk with God, saying that she should pass away. Timothy Hernandez, 32, is charged with first-degree murder for slaying his 27-year-old girlfriend, Vanessa Cons, in Mount Vernon, Washington. Told police that God ordered him to kill his girlfriend in the home they shared with Hernandez's parents and their young baby. Crazy people like this need to just go ahead and take themselves out. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is we watch horror all the time and, you know, kills of decapitation and different things, you know, they thrill us, we enjoy them. It's not something you want to see in real life.
No, not at all.
You know, it's just a really, really sad story. They had a 3-year-old daughter. This daughter now does not have a mother or father now because of this crazy bastard that, you know, if you decide to go crazy, just take yourself out. You don't have to take anybody else out with you. All right. On a lighter note, a Japan hotel that has recently opened up is entirely staffed by robot dinosaurs.
Sweet.
You check in to this site. Actual robot dinosaurs that talk to you, give you your room keys, check you in. You bring your bags up yourself. There's not a robot dinosaur that brings your bags for you or anything like that, but... they have tons of animated dinosaurs in the restaurant, around the lobby, like I said, behind the actual front desk checking you in. Sounds like a pretty cool place to check out. But that's in the Japanese are always ahead with stuff like that. They dig shit like that a lot. So, okay, recently in North Carolina, which happens to be one of the states with the most UFO sightings, this guy... Javion Hill, 35, of Kings Mountain, North Carolina. He took a few photos of it, but he was driving back home at night near Charlotte, and he observed a large square aircraft hovering in the skyline above him. So he stopped, took some pictures, tried to get some video, and all of a sudden it disappeared before the clouds. What's crazy is he started off, the reason he had his camera out was taking pictures, is he thought he saw a tornado approaching. All of a sudden, the storm started moving in. And when he took the pictures, that's when he realized this huge square aircraft was flying over. So he got some pictures and everything, and they are online right now. You can find them. Images feature something square hovering above the tree line with its edges fringed in lights. I mean, it's obviously a square. It's not an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually something hovering. Says he pulled over at the next exit, tried to get a video, but the aircraft had vanished, and right after, a heavy rain followed. North Carolina is in the top 10 among the 50 states when it comes to UFO sightings. The state had 7,570 UFO sightings since 1940, some of which inspire conspiracy theories of ongoing secret military experiments with an Air Force base that is not far from there. Conspiracy theorists maintain many UFO sightings in the region are actually an experimental military aircraft known as the TR-3B, which is an anti-gravity craft that hovers. But military.com reports that the TR-3B does not exist officially. If you see it, you're not supposed to. So, pretty cool pictures. Something interesting to check out. Definitely for those UFO conspirators.
It's pretty badass looking.
Yeah. Okay, now, totally not horror related, but pretty exciting. You may have heard by now that Steve Guttenberg announced on Twitter that a new Police Academy movie is in the works as we speak.
Is Police Academy probably the last movie he made, or part four or something?
Dude, they've had... Well, I think that was the last one he was in, but they've had like six.
Oh, yeah.
Police Academy franchise is not going away.
I was a kid.
What's his name? The sound guy. It's Michael something.
Michael Winslow.
He's got to keep working somehow.
Dude, Police Academy movies are great.
The first two are phenomenal.
The funny thing about them is, like, when I was a kid, everybody watched Police Academy, but they were rated R. Like, at least the first one was, for sure.
They had boobs.
Oh yeah, there's boobs all through the series.
Civil Danning's in it.
But it's like some of the stuff that we weren't allowed to watch, but then like parents kind of looked like, oh, Police Academy, that's just goofy, but. Like Commandant's getting a BJ under the die, and you know, like during the speech and stuff, and it's like,
for those that aren't familiar with her, go check out Sybil Danning's IMBD, and note that she starred in many, many B movies where she loves showing her tits.
But yeah, Police Academy movies are great. But yeah, Steve Guttenberg hasn't really done much of anything.
Well, would we have Bobcat Goldthwait if it wasn't for Police Academy 2?
True. Well, we had One Crazy Summer.
Yes. Was that before or after Police Academy 2, though?
I think it was before.
Okay. Yeah, so that's something that we have to look forward to, is a new movie in the Police Academy series. So, that's what I have for new business tonight.
All right. Well, we'll put a fork in that one and move on right after these messages.
Sounds good.
One, two, three. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Friday the 13th. You may only see it once, but that will be enough. Friday the 13th, rated R.
I shot him 6 times. I shot him in the heart. He's not human.
Universal Pictures presents Halloween 2. More of the night he came home.
Who is it?
There was nothing within him, neither conscience nor reason, that wasn't even remotely human.
This is some kind of a joke. I've been trick-or-treated to death tonight.
You don't know what death is.
Janet, go tell Mr. Garrett we're having trouble with the phones.
There is no place to hide. He will always find you.
What's this?
It's a Celtic word. It means the Lord of the Dead.
Mr. Garrett?
The night he came home.
And we're back. Howdy, Scott.
Howdy, Bill.
Episode 100.
100. Think about that for a second.
Consistent every single week.
Almost every week for 100 weeks.
We have not missed a week.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of weeks where...
One that was late.
There's been a couple of weeks where they showed up the following day because I was having... uploading problems or whatever, but every single week we've had an episode,
even through Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after clearing houses, you came over
and we did an episode. So yeah, we've got, I didn't even count up the metas. So, you know, like the meta episodes, the intention of the meta episodes was to be a show within the show, kind of about the show, like off-week stuff that maybe didn't have a full episode.
Something that would pop up in the news that we felt as though we needed to go ahead and cover.
Things were just on our radar that didn't necessarily warrant an entire episode, or maybe even a midweek. But it's kind of funny, just recently I saw kind of a Tumblr discussion about people trying to define what meta actually means. Because the reality of what meta is that it's something that's self-referential. So, like, if a character in a movie talks about himself as a character in another movie, like, so that would be if, like in Bruce Willis in a movie talking about Die Hard, it's kind of like, okay, well, obviously, Bruce Willis is in Die Hard, so it's self-referential.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. But there's so many definitions of what it means to be meta. And for us, it was just kind of like, well, we're gonna put this one in here. It'll be inside the regular show. So our meta episodes are just shows within the show. But we got a lot of them. We got quite a few of those things. So they don't count towards the 100 count. Our first episode together was actually episode 4. It was a Halloween, a preparation for Halloween episode. And interestingly enough, there is no episode 3 of the Scary Dad podcast. I recorded episode 1 and 2 by myself about 6 months before we got together. And I did a episode like 2.1 that was talking about something else entirely. And then I didn't do anything for a while. And then we started on episode 4 because I had to get my numbering right whenever I re-uploaded the podcasting software into the website. So we started episode 4, but there is no episode 3. It doesn't exist. So episode 4 was a Halloween episode. We added the history segment in episode 6.
Really?
Yeah, it was that okay. Fast. And then my red notebook starts at episode 7 with Fright Rags. That's whenever I actually started like outlining stuff.
We're on a second notebook of yours, by the way.
Almost done with it. Yeah, episode 7. I didn't even start writing the dates down. I didn't even do that until episode 8. Yeah, 100 episodes. So we're just going to kind of go back and talk about some of our favorites. Some of the ones that were, you know...
Some of the ones that, if you're new to the Scary Dad podcast, you might want to go back and check out.
These would be our greatest hits.
Yes.
Out of 100 episodes. So I will just start. One of my favorite ones, one that I almost want to revisit, maybe do a sequel to it, was the Devil Music.
Yeah,
that was... talked about 80s heavy metal.
We both grew up in the same era, both dig a lot of the same kinds of music and everything. Definitely what we should revisit again.
That kind of intermingled with growing up in the 80s, and we've mentioned the Satanic Panic so often as it pertained to toys and movies, but music is where it really got affected.
Yeah. Well, I remember I've talked about in that episode was the cassette tape that my mom threw out of the house into the yard, where I can't remember the name of the band, but I remember when my friend brought me the cassette, he said, "Hey, the name of this band means hatred for the Pope." And on the cover of the cassette, there's a gallows in the background, and there's these guys dragging the Pope by his arms to the gallows. My mom saw that and freaked out and actually threw it out of the house. That was part of the panic.
Well, that was back in the day too, where old Tipper Gore was leading the charge to get the parental advisory stickers put on the records. Which all that did
was made you realize the ones you wanted to buy.
Yeah, you did. You didn't know if it was good, but you knew it was going to be interesting. Let's just put it like that.
You know, I loved Ice-T Roll during that whole time because he was just so anti-establishment and just wanted to throw it in their faces and everything. And, you know, you can find the video, and there's tons of pictures of it, but they were doing a PMRC. It was a PMRC. They were doing a protest in L.A., and Ice-T just happened to be passing by. So he made the block, and he comes around, and there's pictures of him flipping them all from his car. And it helped him sell records all the more.
For
sure. Same with Two Live Crew. You know, Two Live Crew blew up once the PMRC showed up.
Yeah, there were so many bands that just had...
People didn't know who the hell they were until the PMRC started saying, "Don't listen to these people." And all the kids were like, "I got to hear this."
I got to see. The same thing with Anthrax, "I'm the Man."
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like bullshit. Like, they were doing Beastie Boy rap because it was a new style. They weren't trying to cop anything. They were a heavy metal band.
Yeah.
But Anthrax had the "I'm the Man," and then they had the "Clean" and the unedited version, and so you heard the clean version. You know, people had it on their cassette, but man, you saw somebody that had the record, they had the unedited version, like, man.
Well, it got to the point where it was the label, the parental advisory label, became, you know, such an iconic thing with music. They started making t-shirts with the label on it. Mm-hmm. The kids were buying, you know, you look for.
I bought records that didn't have a single cuss word on it that have the label on it. They probably requested it. But yeah, Devil Music was a fun one. And that was an early episode. That was episode 6. We really hadn't even started finding our rhythm.
Right.
But to be fair, I went back and listened to a few of these old ones. We found a rhythm pretty quickly.
Yeah.
We didn't stumble around for too long.
Well, the first night we met, we basically recorded an episode.
Yeah, without having a microphone. Next favorite, although I don't know that I necessarily recommend listening to the whole thing, but it was really fun to make, was episode 12.5, the 2016 recap.
That was so much fun, dude. We got so drunk. We had, of course, Chris from Dude's Beer joining us for that one. That episode was a blast, dude. It didn't feel like it was 3 hours long.
No. But the funny thing was that was a meta. That was like our second meta to do, or maybe even our first. This is our first, like, midweek. We're like somewhere in between. And I think to this day, it's our longest episode we've ever done. Like, 3 straight hours.
My favorite part of that episode are me and Chris just prattling on, and you trying to keep us in line and keep us in time.
Well, the funny thing about it was, like you said, we're talking, it's like, it was 2016, so we lost George Michael. And Chris is drunk, and he starts talking about Michael Jackson. And you're sitting there smiling and nodding, and I'm looking at him like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? But yeah, a lot of people died in 2016.
That was a rough year. Yes,
so
it was.
We got 3 hours in, and I started skipping pages to just get to the rest. Another early on episode that was a lot of fun was the voodoo episode.
Voodoo's always fun. You know, that being from Louisiana, that's something. I was reading some of the spells the other day in my voodoo book over there. Gumbo Yaya.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's And what's funny is so many of the spells, there's several of the spells in there that my aunt was a treater. She was one that would treat illnesses. When you got a sprained ankle, we wouldn't wrap it up or go to the doctor. We'd go to my aunt so she could pray over it and stuff. A lot of the spells are in there that, as a kid, they used to use to try to cure stuff that we had, ailments that we had. But yeah, the voodoo episode was real good. That was a lot of fun. In the background, we have Leatherface playing, by the way, which is the origin story of Leatherface.
Another good one. Went a little bit long. We kind of had some disagreements about, not disagreements, but we saw things from different perspectives, so that always lends to great show, was the aliens.
Yes.
Just discussing, you know, do you believe it? I do, and here's why, and I don't, and here's why, and it turned out that was a good time.
Yeah.
But in episode 22, we got to talk about Elvira.
My boo.
Well, she appeared in two episodes. There's Scream Queens and Horror Hosts. Yeah. But yeah, the Scream Queens, all the great... What's so cool about so many of the Scream Queens from the 70s and 80s, well, mostly the 80s, is they're all still making horror movies now.
Yeah, they're all... And what's funny, they're all still active on Twitter. That's one thing I love about Twitter and social media is that you get to know these people, you know, behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awesome. I follow all of them. Debbie Rochon, Linnea Quigley, all of them I follow on Twitter. And, yeah, they're still very active.
Well, Barbara Crampton was just in Puppet Master.
Puppet Master, yeah.
And, you know, so she's all excited about it. It's hard, you know, it's like, it's hard not to see her in that movie and not be just a little excited because she's so excited about being in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, It was that was a fun one. We got to episode 23, which was Serial Killers.
That was one of my favorite episodes. That was a good one. Just going through the history and just some... You know, it's basically... I've always talked about how reality's scarier than any horror movie. You know, the scariest horror movies are the ones that the shit can really happen. Like I said, The Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's one of the most frightening movies I've ever seen. And just talking about the real-life serial killers and stuff, that was a good episode. I enjoyed that one a lot.
It's crazy as we were running through the serial killers, and it's kind of like the more famous they are, the lower the body count.
Yeah.
It's like you've got some that are not very well-known, or they're well-known, but not as well as others, and they had really big body counts. And then, like, moving on up the line, like, the king of them all was Ed Gein, and he's got two.
Two, yeah. You know? Yeah, the one that most of the movies are based on.
But, yeah, Serial Killers was crazy. And it was like that whole concept of like, how do you find the time? You know, like,
yeah.
Like how do you have a full-time job and a
family
at home and home?
You're a little league coach and everything else. And you're on the side, you're killing prostitutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even the ones that are like, prostitutes, you can kind of guess because, you know, you travel for work, you can get out. No, but these are the ones that are like, just like killing like random people or something. It's like, well, would you just run off to the store for some milk
and just like wash up in the bathroom at the gas station real quick and then
found
on?
Somebody, kidnapped them, dispatched them, disposed of the body, and then went home with cold milk? Like, how does that work? But it does. Or it did.
Like, it still does. It still does. There's still serial killers out there.
Yeah, it's just not as prevalent now, I don't think.
Right. But they seem to be caught a lot sooner. So it's not as easy to get away with stuff as it used to be.
Forensics.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. Like that guy who... the Golden State Killer who got popped because some ancestor of his sent in a DNA swab to Ancestry.
The Ancestry, yeah. Like, that still kind of freaks me out a little bit. You know, that police can use... Think about how easy it would be to frame somebody.
Well, yeah. At the same time, you know, it's like, okay, well, I mean, if this is your spit on this thing, you know, it's like it's forensic evidence. If they just find it, it's like fingerprints. You know, if you were there and you put your fingerprints on something and they match them 20 years later, they still match. I'm going to say probably one of my favorite episodes of all time, the one that I think just ran on all cylinders, was the Coral Castle.
That got that one right here, man. That It's a love story. It's a supernatural story. There's so many elements to the Coral Castle. Amy was talking about it in the day house. She would love to have a castle. I'm like, let's go check out the Coral Castle one day. It's a road trip that we definitely need to try to make. That's a fascinating story, man. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah. And so like so many other details. Like, I still think about that spinning...
the door?
The door that got jammed. And he put it in there by himself. Whether he did it with magic or with a secret crane or however...
Or magnets, whatever it was.
However he did it. But it took the crew, like, all kinds of heavy machinery.
The crane out there and everything, yeah.
And they pulled it up, and it was just a truck bearing.
That went out.
Yeah, and they replaced the bearing, and it still spins. So, like, the precision with which this thing was put together... I don't know how it was built. That's so fascinating. But that whole story was just awesome.
Yeah. Coral Castle is a really, really cool story.
But not satisfied with beautiful love stories and tales of overcoming the man to build your lover's dream home. We did 29 on torture.
Torture and executions are two of my favorite episodes.
Oh, that was a blast. I'm not saying. I'm just saying we didn't stick with that love story element.
Yeah. Just the history behind methods of torture just... And like I said, binge-watching all these shows about medieval times and everything. Some sick, sick people back then with some just insane imaginations. You know, they wanted to make sure when they killed somebody for something that people were scared.
Oh, yeah.
That they scared the shit out of everybody else. You know, it's just crazy, man.
Well, and I don't know if the episode itself had been out whenever we made this one. I don't think so. But Hardcore History, he did an entire episode on torture. And it was titled Painfultainment. And it was pretty rough. I mean, he described all kinds of different... But he said that, like, the execution, the death of the condemned, was really just... That was the end of the show. That was just the afterthought. Like... The show
was getting to that point.
Was all the things you could do in the meantime. And, man.
Because on the show I'm watching right now, Rain, one of their favorites is the rack. And just to see somebody's arm get dislocated by the rack to the point where they pass out, then they wake them back up and they just start all over
Excuse
again.
Excuse me.
Yeah. There was some sick minds back in the day, dude. And, you know, they talk about the Inquisition and everything and just the methods of torture to get information that isn't there, but they want to get a confession out of somebody, even though there is no confession to get. It's just...
It's rough.
Oh, yeah.
It was badass. It was a fun show. And you mentioned executions, because we did that one not too long afterwards.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like...
I kind of lump those together, because the thing about it is... Ultimately, with the methods of torture they used, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much a method of execution. It's just to prolong it to get information.
True, but like, you know, the rack itself was a torture device. The end goal of the rack was not to kill.
It was to get information.
They'll kill you. I mean, if you happen to die, then so be it. But they'll rack you, and then they'll take you outside and draw and quarter you, and that's the execution. And you're like, man, I just made it through the rack. What's next? Well, here you go.
And they were quick to behead people, too, man. It was just not an afterthought to it, man. It was, man.
Well, hey, you got too many damn people breaking all these damn laws. poaching the king's deer.
Practicing witchcraft.
Saying things.
You know, if I ever travel back in time, that is not the era I'd want to go to.
Medieval times?
No. Because so much can get you set up to where you're going to be executed or tortured. I show up with tattoos on my arm that they can't rub off. They're going to think something's going on. They're going to accuse me of witchcraft.
It's going to be Bill and Ted. You're going to be like, zoom, right out of the time machine. What up, dude? They're going to be like Iron Maiden.
It's going to be like Orient Darkness. I'll immediately be thrown into the pit with the zombie woman.
It's funny because if you tie like Army of Darkness to the end of Evil Dead, he kills that Deadite. They're like, he's chosen one. Yeah. And then like 10 minutes later, like throw him in the pit anyway. Like, but they had enough time to think about it on the way back to the castle. Like,
wait, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Another really fun one was the totally unnecessary scary 80s.
Yeah, because there was so much to talk about. Like I said, that was the era we grew up. So we had a strong connection to that kind of stuff.
But, you know, it's like I mentioned to Rick over at House of Wax and Helming. He mentioned that they were going to do Lost Boys, and then he was talking about Monster Squad.
I watched that the other day.
I watched it not too long ago myself, and I remember Monster Squad, and I don't remember it being particularly scary, but right. It had some scenes, like when Wolfman hiding in the closet, the mummy pull it apart, you know, just certain scenes where it was, you know, it had some scares. But that was a movie made for kids.
Yeah.
You know, and like The Gate, The Gate was scary as hell. It was like The Goonies with demons.
It was The Goonies, yeah. Yeah.
But, they had so many movies that were just, but that's not even what we were talking about. There's just like so many things that were acceptable for children to watch. But then you had like basically children's movies that the whole thing was a children's movie except for Large Marge. And Large Marge scene is scary as hell. I don't care who the hell you are. Like,
it's just creepy as hell.
And it really has no place in the whole rest of the movie other than it's hilarious. But they're just like, huh, this is a great movie. Can we add some nightmares? You're just scary montages and scary scenes in movies that were just par for the course. Just
right.
How well, it
the
went.
Biggest one was Gremlins. You know, Gremlins was totally geared to kids.
Yeah.
Your Gizmo was adorable.
The marketing department did not watch that movie.
Before they came out with the toys and everything else.
But yeah, my daughter and I were someplace the other day, and they had Gremlins something or other. And she's like, "Ooh, Daddy, when can I watch Gremlins?" And I was like, well, I had to do the math. It came out in 84, which meant I was 8. She's almost 8. There is no way in hell I'm letting that kid watch Gremlins. Gremlins is too damn scary for you, kid. Sorry. You gotta wait for a while.
They start up a love with horror with her, too, though.
Yeah, but...
the adrenaline rush from just being scared. But the thing about it is you don't want to deal with nightmares and sleepless nights.
No.
I understand that.
They get scared of things. And, like, there's a Halloween episode of Arthur that somehow she's scared of. I know it's my daughter.
You gotta know their limits.
I got work to do, but I also like to go to bed from time to time.
See, that's what was lucky with me having a daughter with a brother that was 7 years older than her. She was able to go to haunted houses at the age of 6 because she had an older brother that taught her not to fear shit. You know, it's... But I totally understand where you're coming from. I can see exactly what you got going on. But I just got lucky. Like I said, she had an older brother that, as long as he was around, she wasn't afraid of anything.
Well, and I was flipping through movies. Like, for, you know, like I said, when I was a kid, I had an overactive imagination. So there was a lot of horror movies I didn't see when they came out because I knew that I would be scared of them. I looked at the VHS case. Like, I'd look at the back of them in the video store, but I wouldn't actually watch them. Until I got a little bit older, you know, like junior high, high school, but I wouldn't watch them when I was kid. But there were certain things like Clash of the Titans, Beastmaster, you know, that kind of stuff that's got some really horrific...
Oh, Beastmaster, the witches are scary as hell, dude. That ring with the eye freaked me out when I was a kid.
Them throwing kids into the fire?
Yeah.
You know, like Willow. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's like some scary, scary stuff. Even Star Wars.
Well, in Dark Crystal, the creepy little buzzard things, those were scary.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of stuff in the 80s where it's like, oh, it's a nice little family film.
It's Jim Henson. Go ahead and watch it.
It would be a shame if somebody were to just screw up your life, your dreams for years. Another real fun one. Another throw over to Narlins was the Axeman.
That was a fun episode, man. I learned a lot of it. I wasn't familiar with Axeman in New Orleans until we decided to do the episode, and that was a cool one to go through.
That's unsolved. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
That dude wrote a letter to the cops. I was like, if I don't hear jazz, I'm going to kill the bitch.
So everybody plays jazz. But that was back in the day, like with Jack the Ripper, you could get away with shit like that. You know, that there wasn't cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, people weren't running around with their cell phones on record. You can get away with bad shit.
Yeah. Well, and it's also one of those things of like, talk about race relations. Axeman killed black girls, so nobody really paid attention until he started killing white people, and then they were like, oh God! Yeah, being black didn't matter,
right?
Being white didn't save you anymore. And they're like, oh, we got to find this guy. The servant girl annihilator, you know, another one.
Yeah,
like in that same episode, which could have been the same guy,
right?
But, man, another one that was so fun because we got to talk about grandmas was the Weekly World News.
That was a lot of fun, just because the memories that it brought back from, like you were saying, back when I used to go to my grandmother's house, that was the news to her. And she kept a stack of them, dude, and as soon as I get to her house, I'd start strumming through them.
The news, the National Enquirer, the Star, those tabloid magazines were always so much fun back in the 80s.
And you know, those tabloid magazines is exactly what gave me my love for the other episode I want to talk about that we've done, is our episodes on cryptids. You know, our first introduction as children to cryptids was the Weekly World News.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, because it was in print, there were pictures, it made it real when we were kids. And, you know, it's just like people say, if it's on the internet, you know, it's true. So the Weekly World News, when you're, you know, 7, 8 years old, that's true. The newspaper.
It was black and white.
Yeah, it's a newspaper. It's got to be Bigfoot exists. The Loch Ness Monster exists. And it just—that's why I have a love for the cryptid information.
Yeah, the lake monsters.
Lake monsters and Bigfoot are my favorite episodes, and just because of my attachment to Weekly World News. Because, like I said, growing up, that kind of shit was real to me, because I read about it.
Mm-hmm. And different ones in different places.
Yeah, I read about it and I saw pictures.
What makes it real? One isolated lake in Scotland, or every major freshwater body the world over.
I was reading something about Lake Champlain the other day, and I'm like, that's where Champ is. You know, that's what I know that lake for, is Champ.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was in Tahoe, looking down in the water, wondering if Tessie's in there. They have a Tahoe Tessie out there.
Yep.
One of the funniest episodes we've done.
I know what you're going to say.
69. Florida man.
Florida man lives on.
Florida man's had some exploits since we did the episode.
Oh, yes.
Well, maybe we get to episode 169.
We'll do another Florida man. We'll do another Florida plenty man. Of new material.
We had to cut it short because there was too damn much.
Florida man is on a mission, dude. Let me tell you.
All right. Now we get some of the harder ones. These are still good episodes, but these are just kind of... We sat
they,
down...
They left us... touched, you could say.
We were like, man, this would be a great idea for an episode. And whenever we were done, we walked out and we're like, man, I think I just want to go home and hug my kids.
Well, I think one of them, we even ended early because we just couldn't do anymore.
The Evil Women episode.
Evil Women, we had to end early.
Yeah.
Because like I said, as dads, when you talk that much about, you know, bad things happening to kids, can't take it anymore.
Same. You go to your serial killers episode, for the most part, the serial killers are men, so men kill women, or men kill other men, or men kill boys, or they kill somebody else. The Evil Women was almost 100% their own children.
Right.
And by, like, really, really horrible means.
Yeah.
And it's not like they, like, you know... smothered them in their sleep or something. It's like drowning them in bathtubs, running cars into lakes.
It's rough, like, stuff to deal
like
with,
just
man.
Really, really mean shit.
You know, I got one old friend of mine who was a very good friend at one time. He's an assistant district attorney. And at one point, he was in charge of cases dealing with children or the elderly. And after 2 years, he couldn't do it anymore. That shit takes something from you, especially when you're a parent. Just seeing that
Over and over again.
And like I said, that episode just talking about woman after woman harming her children, it just...
Yeah, we had to quit.
We had to stop that one.
The other one that was tough was the cults.
And what's weird is with cults, and then also that had to do a lot with what happened with kids that were involved with the cults. I actually enjoyed that episode a lot, just because growing up, when did the Jonestown Massacre happen?
Like 81, I think.
That was, when I was young, that was big news. And for some reason, I had a fascination with the Jonestown Massacre. I remember seeing the movie that came out in the 80s. It was a, can't remember who it starred, but it was, I saw the movie when I was young, the Jonestown Massacre movie. And it amazed me that that kind of shit can happen. You know, that was a true story. And I enjoyed that episode because I was able to research that a little bit more and talk about it and everything. But yeah, the cult episode was rough. There's some evil, evil people out there. I mean, Jim Jones was a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he started off as a good person helping people out, but he just turned into a monster. That was a rough episode.
Yeah, that was. And you mentioned how, like, just the audio.
Yeah, you can listen to those tapes on YouTube. The actual audio from when all these people were killing themselves. You could hear children screaming in the background, crying, begging not to be killed. And they went through it. They killed everybody.
Mm-hmm. Some of the harder ones were some of the eulogies. Since we started the podcast, we've lost more than this, but these are the top line. We lost Wes Craven, George Romero, Bill Paxton, Bernie Wrightson, Chris Cornell. And unfortunately, you know, well, all of them, with the exception of Cornell, were medical problems. They had health issues, whether it was cancer. Paxton, you know, had heart problems. Chris Cornell was really tough for me because, you know, he was the last one because, you know, I'm a little younger. So where a lot of people would put, you know, like 1987 is their, like, point in the map for pop culture, for music and everything. For me, it was going to be about 91. Like, that's whenever I was kind of, like, into high school. I was, like, into punk, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam. All of those bands started hitting around 91. And, like, I fell right into the 90s. Like, and along with those kind of more mainstream metal bands like Soundgarden, I was also into like Pantera and all of that metal scene that kind of left behind the glam, left behind the hairspray and the spandex and went more hardcore. But you know, you lost Cobain in 94, you lost Staley, I think, in like 2003. You know, it's like different ones just kept falling off. You thought Cornell was going to make it because he hadn't made it. Like, he'd been separated from that scene for so long. He'd been through rehab a couple of times. He was married, which obviously doesn't help with mental health, but you know what I mean. It's like, as you start to get older, it's like, he's like...
You think he made it past all that stuff?
Like, maybe he found a way to silence those demons a little bit, but you find out, no, not at all. He was never free of it. He appeared to be. So that was a tough one for me. Like, that entire... I had tickets to that show Thursday night when he died on Tuesday. You know, it's like, I was supposed to see him like two nights after he died or the night after or whatever. It was like...
Our friend Jesse Dedman of Dedman's Tome has actually a very good episode about the Chris Cornell conspiracy. I don't know if you listened to it before.
But I hadn't heard his.
You might want to check it out because he has a woman on there that has actually written a book about the Cornell conspiracy that has a lot of information and stuff, and it'll really get you to thinking about
switch gears.
Circumstances. Yeah. But yeah, that was, and you know, you mentioned Bill Paxton. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, I was like, you know, I had breakfast with him 3 months before he passed away. And he's such an iconic person, in my opinion, just with the movies that he made, both acting and directing, and just being a part of, you know, even when he had small roles in movies. I feel as though I wasted so much time when I had breakfast with him because there's so much stuff that I regret. I kicked myself in the ass for not asking him about. But just getting to know him as a person just made that death all the more harder. You know, a comedian once said this, and I've mentioned it to other people before. There are dead celebrities that I miss more than I miss certain dead relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Paxton is one of them. Bill Paxton and Bernie Wrightson both, because I actually knew them on a more personal level. Both of those two, I just... It's rough, man.
Well, and I mentioned, too, I mean, because, again, George Romero.
Yeah.
You know, George Romero is the father of the zombie, you know?
Yeah, like, the modern-day zombie wouldn't be around without
him. And he did Creepshow, and he did so many... Oh, we also love... I wrote it down, but it's... Tobe Hooper.
Yeah.
From Chainsaw Massacre, Poltergeist. You know, but these guys were icons. They're horror icons of... And not just iconic, but they're just really genuinely nice guys. If you ever see an interview of George Romero, he's just a nice guy who he had a passion project and it grew from there. You know, he got to work with Stephen King, he got to work with Stan Winston and Rick Baker and all those guys. Like, that whole golden age of horror that we were talking about in the 80s, these guys were at the forefront. I was a fan of Bernie Wrightson before I knew who Bernie Wrightson was.
I know, because I grew up with Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing, well,
in Heavy Metal Magazine.
But then just his art in comics and in horror magazines and like the Frankenstein and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff that you look at it and you're like blown away by it. And then later on, when you're a little bit older, you notice like a similar style.
Yeah.
Like I said in our obituary or our eulogy issue, like Wrightson seemed to, I mean, obviously his pencil strokes are dark, but he painted with light. He drew with light more than he drew with dark. Because if you look at his paintings, the white jumps out at you. The negative space pops out. And it's an iconic look, and you can see if people are copying him.
Yeah.
You can see people who are inspired by him. But his style is all his own, and it's phenomenal. And so losing these guys in the...
And he was such a wonderful person himself. I mean, he was just a genuinely great guy.
And yeah, so those eulogies, we hope we don't have to do anymore.
Right.
But when and if we do, I hope that we pay tribute to them properly. And sometimes they do devolve into just fanboy, you know, gushing, like, oh man, they're so awesome, look at this thing. But we hope we pay a proper tribute to them. And but anyway, we're gonna raise our glass real quick to George Romero, Bill Paxton, Tobe Hooper, Bernie Wrightson, Chris Cornell, and Wes Craven.
Yes, definitely some icons there.
And finally, it was probably my least favorite episode to do. It's kind of buried in there. It is a meta. You mentioned it at the top of the show. But my 46.5 Hurricane Harvey. I finished mucking out that house.
came to my place, took a shower real quick.
Had to go to Academy and buy a pair of shoes real fast. Then go to your house and take a shower and dump my truck clothes in a trash can. That's been a year since that happened.
Yes.
This time last year, people were still trudging around through water. It was still really bad.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a look back at the Scary Dad podcast through 100 episodes. As mentioned in a previous episode, episode 104 will be our official 2-year anniversary.
Yes.
And so we will have another retrospective on that, but it'll be a little different run. So it's not all a greatest hits episode, but we've got a lot of good friends that we're going to talk to. And with that, Halloween show on the 29th. That's my birthday. Come out. I don't want anything for my birthday. Just show up.
Too late.
Yeah, right.
You're gonna love what I got you, dude. I hope you do at least.
everybody bring something fun. Bring a costume. And we will see you next time. Keep it scary.
Later. Thank you.